I don't know what you should do, Mike.
I think I'd rather take a bullet in the head.
I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
I don't know what to say. Felger
and Mass. The Beyond Dumb 2 to 6 show, yeah. Right?
Jackpot! 98.5, the Sports Hub. Mass, I'm going to go right back to the phones unless
No, I think people want to vent about this.
I believe you are correct. Here's Rich in Winthrop. Rich, what do you got?
Question, Mike. Wouldn't it have been better if they intentionally let Philly score with 5 minutes left in the game? That way you give Brady more time and they still have their timeouts. Thanks for the call.
No way, sir. I mean, in some cases, I think it's right to let a team score. But you still got the ball back north of the two-minute warning with timeouts. You had all the time in the world. Time was not the issue.
When Ertz went in, I was like, okay, we're good to go here. We have enough time. That was enough time.
Less than one score. 2:16. What was it again? The exact time?
Something like that. I'll double check it.
With, I think, two timeouts left.
2:21.
Yeah.
2:21. I think you had two or three timeouts at that stage.
They had one left.
They had used the second one before the second down play that the Eagles... I might be looking at the wrong point. No, I get the right spot. They had called timeout number two at 2:30.
Okay, so yeah, but still, 2:21, a timeout left, and the two-minute warning.
Yeah, it's enough.
Plenty of time.
It's enough. For Brady, it's enough. There's no question about it. They had enough. Not enough is being made. You know, in retrospect, looking back, the Butler thing got everyone's attention as well as it should have. But really, Bedard said this at the beginning of the program, and I think he's right. Brady with the ball, 2:20 to go, a timeout and the two-minute warning, needing a touchdown in a game that was a track meet. You'll take it. You'll take it. Again, weren't you waiting there to say, my God, he's going to do it again?
Of course. Al in Salisbury. Hi, Al.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, first of all, my first take is 11.5. Can you put me down for a dime on that for next season, buddy?
On the over?
Let's be real. We're playing Buffalo. We're playing the Jets. We're playing Miami. 6 games, okay? That's like buys. My other take is, you know, after watching the, two Bills, you know, my decision for Belichick right now for retiring, how's his relationship with Jonathan Kraft? I'll let you guys go.
Sure. It's a hidden sort of thing that we started to pick up on at the end of the week. You talk about, is Bill going to go anywhere? Is Brady going to go anywhere? No and no. Well, what if Robert steps aside just enough that Bill Belichick is now answering to Jonathan Kraft more often than not? Or, you know, who's present on a given day? Is Robert in Manhattan where he lives? Is he in Palm Beach? Is he on Air Force One with the Donald, or is he just, you know, again, sort of as he advances in age, he just sort of steps aside, as most patriarchs do, and, you know, the father of the family business, he steps aside, and so let's just say Robert's still on top of the masthead, but who's present? Who's in the building? Something comes up, who does Bill have to run it past? And if it becomes Jonathan, what's that relationship like? I don't know, but it's something worth considering.
I mean, again, just go back to the Garoppolo deal. The story was that he stuck his head in Robert's office, right? I just traded him for a second rounder.
And Robert said,
what if he's got a deal with Jonathan instead of Robert?
What does Robert do? I checked with Jonathan, and he said okay.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. I just think there's a dynamic there that keep an eye on. Denny in Holyoke. Go ahead, Denny.
Yeah, I'm thinking Butler's in uniform because Belichick intended to play him. Up until the rosters are set and the inactives are put in. And then when whoever tells Butler, you know, you're not starting or you're going to not play for a quarter, now he starts chirping around the locker room. That gets to Belichick, and that's the nail in the coffin for him for the game.
Well, that's stupid.
Well, no, because now he's sitting on the...
Well, no. I'm saying, Denny, maybe that's the case, but then don't you look at Bill and go, what, you didn't play a guy and lost the Super Bowl because he's chirping?
No. After he's informed an hour before the game, he's already in uniform.
I understand.
And they're just going to tell him, you know, you're not going to play the first quarter, and now he goes off.
He pitches a fit. So what?
You don't pitch a fit, I don't think, to Belichick in the middle of the locker room an hour before the Super Bowl. That's why he's in uniform, because he's intending on playing him.
No, so look, no one knows what happened there, but let's say that's the case, and you don't play him, and you go down in flames in the Super Bowl because of that? You feel good about that? Like sticking to your guns?
No way.
I'd feel 10 times better if Bill told him to get dressed and go home. Get dressed in your jeans and go home. You don't belong in this locker room or on this team. And then, you know, I don't know if I'd be totally fine with it, but I'd be mostly fine with it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be fine with it either way, because at the end of the day, what I think is at the core of it is his dispute with Butler over what Butler's value is and how good a player he is. Yeah, because to me, they're all tied to the contract. I think at the end of the day, it comes back to that. And that's the part I can't live with. Because again,
look, Maz, At this point, you don't know. So, I mean, what if he did attack a coach? Okay, so then that's worthy of it.
But then why was he in uniform?
So I'm telling you, this is what I'm saying. That's my problem with it. But there is a point where it would have been justifiable for them to send him home.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying.
Contract. Look,
yeah, if it's egregious enough, sure.
Look, I think they have it out for him, quote-unquote, they have a thing, because they've been butting heads on the contract now for 2 years.
So at the end of the day, I don't believe that there was something egregious enough for them to send him home.
Okay.
That's really, to me, what it comes down to. I don't believe that happened. Because, again, I come back to that Rappaport story. Perfect storm of elements, a lot of different things. If it's a lot of different things, it wasn't any one thing. So they didn't have a good reason. It's the way I look at it, to not play him. They had no good reason.
Martin and Webster. Hi, Martin.
Hey, man, I was just wondering, what do you guys think on Josh McDaniels going to the Colts? Do you think he will have a good result in Indianapolis?
Okay, well, that of all the bad phones we've gotten, Martin, that is to be like the bottom three of all time. You got to be kidding me.
Real bad.
Go ahead, Murray.
Hold on. I'll just bite my sweatshirt and say,
what do you guys think about Josh McDaniels going to Indianapolis Colts? Is that really going to affect that team? How is he going to affect the play of Andrew Luck?
Here's what I think McDaniels...
It's like being at the dentist.
Here's what McDaniels and Indianapolis should be. Awesome. They should be.
Well, I'm worried about the defense.
They should be. Well, I mean, you can win without it. You can go all the way to the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl with a crappy defense. We just learned that. That team should be awesome. Andrew Luck comes into the league with as much tools and physical skills at that position as you can get. I mean, just complete package. And McDaniels has worked the balance of his NFL career with the greatest coach and the greatest quarterback in the history of the sport. If those two, McDaniels and Luck, can't figure out and have success, then what? Then you tell me. Then McDaniels is a complete dunce because he absorbed nothing from these two guys. And Andrew Luck is just, you know, overrated paper tiger, nothing more than an arm. Okay? But, if Andrew Luck is what he appears to be, and McDaniels can just absorb 75% of what he must have learned from Belichick and Brady, how does that not work there?
I want to see how it goes there. I told you, I think McDaniels is a little overrated. Now, look, but if he doesn't succeed this time, Andrew Luck in a dome in that division, and maybe the division's better now. Jacksonville's improved some. Houston's got Deshaun Watson. But even so, if he blows this one, he's a career coordinator.
Oh, that's it. No doubt. Tom on the Cape. Hi, Tom.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. What a difference a year makes. You know, last year at halftime, this entire part of the country was despondent. This year, they're down 10, and you just assume that they're making a comeback. But what you don't anticipate is a Bill Belichick Patriots defense not executing like that. So when Hightower went down, I just presumed our chances of winning to be significantly reduced. So Bill's greatest challenge to date, aside from the quarterback issue, is unequivocally rebuilding this defense. So this draft offseason is not to be overlooked, because the most intriguing matchup for me, other than Tom versus Time, is Bill versus Time. So with that being said, I'm curious what you guys may think would be the bigger deterrent to the Patriots winning another championship, the personnel and how they're able to configure the roster, or the dynamic with Bill, Tom, and Kraft. Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Okay, so I hope they figure that second thing out. Like, again, I think all the problems have been real, but I've never felt the thing was going to break apart, and I still don't. So you figure that out. Right, and that's Robert's job. You get everyone together, you get them all in the same room, and you get them on the same page, and you take care of them, whether that means contracts or money or whatever the case is, you figure that out. Can he flip the roster? I mean, when you look at it, I think what's also really important is that some of their existing young guys continue on their path. Like, Dedrick Wise showed you something in year one, that if he makes a year two jump, you got something there. This Rivers kid, people liked him in training camp. He's a third round pick, but if he's something, okay. If he's something, and then you go, so then you have Wise, Flowers, who's good and has emerged as a legit guy. You have Wise, Flowers, and this Rivers kid, and Malcolm Brown, who's a, good interior. I think you're okay there. Like,
plus Hightower coming back.
Okay, well, but now you're talking at the linebacker level. I'm starting with, with the D-line. Like, you've got enough there. That's not completely barren. The linebackers are freaking frightening.
Yeah.
Because Hightower cannot stay healthy, and he's the only one you feel good about there. So the linebackers absolutely have to be overhauled. And you now need a right corner. You need to go out and find someone to play opposite Stephon Gilmore.
Well, and safeties now, too, because McCourty's play dipped this whole season. He was terrible in the Super Bowl. Like, that whole secondary needs to be overhauled outside of Gilmore.
I don't believe that. I think they need a second corner. I think Rowe as a third corner is okay. I think that McCourty and Chung are still good and young enough. McCourty is anyway. And he had a bad game, but I'm not writing him off. He's back next year. He's a key core guy, leader. And they need a corner opposite of Stephon Gilmore. Big time.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I mean, like, I like McCourty, always have. He had a brutal game. I mean, but he's a solid player. I'm not a big Harmon guy. So if you tell me you want to take a flyer on a safety late in the draft or something, fine. But I thought Rivers was more of a linebacker than a defensive end. That's why I include him and Hightower together.
Okay.
But even so, whatever. The linebacking core is a major freaking problem. Major. It has been since day one.
Felger and Maz. The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz are on your phone with the radio.com app.
Get off the internet!
From 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I respect Malcolm's competitiveness and I'm sure that he felt like he could have helped. I'm sure other players felt the same way. But in the end, we have to make the decisions that we feel are best for the football team. And that's what we did. That's what I did. That's really all I can say about it.
Malcolm Butler has tweeted something out akin to an explanation. It's a long post. I'll pick it up in the middle, where he writes, "During my four-year career with the Patriots, I have always given it everything I have to play at a high level and would never do anything to hurt my team's chances of winning a game, including this year's Super Bowl, where I visited with my family every night. During Super Bowl week, I never attended any concert, missed curfew, or participated in," I think he left "in" out, "or participated in any of the ridiculous activities being reported. They are not only false, but hurtful to me and my family. Although I wish I could have contributed more to help my team win, I have to get ready for the next opportunity. Moving forward, I will do what I have always done to work hard and prepare for the next season to be the best I can be on and off the field. Finally, I want to apologize to any offended by language reported immediately after the game during a very emotional time. It was out of character for me and my character. And heart, with God's help, is what got me to where I am today. I can't wait for the 2018 season to get here. I will be ready!" Exclamation point. So, again, he swore in one of his walk, you know, when Mike Reese caught up to him, I guess.
Right, he did, yeah.
So, anyway, I just, this is the key part. He says, "He'd never do anything to hurt my team's chances of winning a game, including this year's Super Bowl, where I visited with my family every night. During Super Bowl week, I never attended any concert, missed curfew, or participated in any of the ridiculous activities being reported. They are not only false, but hurtful to me and my family." So, what do you make of that?
He's fighting back.
Sure he is. Yeah, sure he is.
So,
I mean, he thinks, what he's telling you basically is he's calling it a smear campaign. I mean, what else could it be? That's what he's telling you. He's telling you it's a smear campaign.
Do you believe him?
I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. I never believe either side on these things, because this is how it gets.
Well, I mean, this is a pretty... I mean, he was pretty definitive about this.
Okay, but how do you prove it?
Well, if he missed curfew, like, that's easy to... That's easy. A Patriot staffer lets it known, "I was there at 11:05 when he walked through the door. He missed curfew." Like, that's an easy thing to dispel. You know, to... So again, to say that he never attended any concert, missed curfew, or participated in any of the ridiculous activities being reported. So I guess that third thing is sort of vague, but I have to take him at his word that he didn't miss curfew, because if he did, it's very, very easy for the team, whether publicly or through their sources, through the cartel, to dispel that.
Okay, but haven't they already indicated that he did miss some curfew? Wasn't that part of the Rappaport report?
Yes.
So again, so do you believe the team?
No, I mean... Rappaport didn't say specifically curfew. He said some sort of minor team violation, some sort of minor rules thing. I don't know. Jimmy, can you pull the Rappaport thing again, please?
I thought he said curfew issue of some sort, but go ahead.
So I'm not even sure if he did. Go ahead.
"One thing that Patriots coach Bill Belichick, Dan, said this morning is that a lot goes into it. And yes, from what I understand, there are several factors that led Malcolm Butler, one of the team's top defensive players, to not be on the field for the Super Bowl. Among those, he showed up a day later than teammates because he was sick. Remember, he was not at opening night. That was a factor. I'm also told that during practice this week, he really struggled, had a rough week of practice, perhaps because of illness, but maybe because of other things. That was one thing that they had to consider in putting Eric Rowe out there instead of him. Then I'm also told there were some other issues, disciplinary issues. There was a small or minor violation of team rules that happened earlier in the week. That is one thing. And then there's some attitudes, frustrations as well. All of this combined and put Malcolm Butler not on the field with his teammates trying to win the Super Bowl, but on the sideline watching.
Never said curfew.
Yeah, nothing about curfew. And the more I think about it, too, with as many Patriots fans were there, or just football fans, there's no photo of Malcolm Butler at this Rick Ross concert.
He wasn't at the Rick Ross concert.
Yeah.
He just, if he's there, it would be stupid to say I wasn't at any concert when it's teeming with people and camera phones. Like, that's too easily exposed as a lie. If he actually missed curfew, that's too easily exposed as a lie. Okay? Was he late to a team breakfast? Was he late to a team meeting? Did he blow off a practice? Like, he doesn't specifically mention that. He doesn't say here that I did not violate any team rules. So that's where he leaves his wriggle room. So, but, and again, so if it was something really bad, like, again, a physical altercation with the coach, he wouldn't say that I never participated in any of the ridiculous activities being reported. That's too easily exposed. So this is what? Really a minor team infraction? And you left that guy on the bench all game long to watch these scrubs get their asses kicked up and down the field? You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, so listen, you know how I feel about it. I'm just telling you, I don't ever take any of these things completely at face value. There's some manipulation of the language going on there. That's all. But even so, let's say there, you know, it's still no reason to keep him out of the game. Again, because it wasn't anything egregious. I think the Rappaport report tells you that. And that's coming from the team side. When I heard that.
And I think this also confirms it. Because, again, he's not going to blatantly lie about a curfew or where he was because it's too easily debunked.
Right.
So it's minor in nature.
Oh, see, I felt that again. As soon as I heard the Rappaport report, I felt that. It was a combination of factors. Once I heard that, I said, oh, God, here we go. What bullcrap. Combination of factors, meaning we had no good reason other than we wanted to stick him on the sideline. Bill buried him. Again, he buried him. He wanted to make an example of him in some capacity. That's what this thing was about.
At the worst possible
time. And again, let's say that the stuff about his performance and practice during the week was true. Okay, and I don't doubt that it is. Maybe he had a bad week of practice. You halfway through the game, you can't see that Jordan Richards sucks, or you needed to be reminded of that, and you still don't put him in the game.
Ugh.
Like, what's if you want to tell me there was something that happened at the beginning, and this takes me back to yesterday, you want to sit him for a quarter, a series, a half, whatever. I don't care. Once it's clear that you can't play D, what the hell is he still doing on the sideline? How does that happen? Like, that blows my mind that Bill's ego would get in the way like that. And see, I think he's got that problem with his personality. I think it does get in the way sometimes with him. Because that's just the trade-off. It's part of the package with Bill. That every once in a while it comes up that he can't get out of the way because he's too big for it. He can't admit to it. So, again, which is probably why I default to what I default to. But I think that Belichick has a personality flaw that makes that entirely 100% believable that he would stick it to Butler. That's what I believe.
I'll tell you, and again, my thought is just that I don't care what he did. Whatever it was not enough to take the uniform away. If it was bad enough that they had to send him home or get him away from the team, then that's one thing. But whatever it was not enough to deactivate him, take away the uniform, take away the game check, the playoff share, whatever the case may be. And if it didn't reach that level, and he's in uniform, and whatever he did was not enough to keep him off the punt team, it is unconscionable. Unconscionable that you would not play him defensive snaps once it was proven that the personnel you had picked out for that game was not getting it done. Unconscionable.
I mean, really, again, I said this here yesterday. If you're the other 52, and I know it's on 52, but let's conclude the inactives, okay? If you're the other 52... and you lose the Super Bowl like that, and he never gets on the field to play a defensive snap, not one. And more importantly, if you're Brady, Tom Brady, 40 years old, playing his ass off, chucking the ball all over the field, and who knows, maybe it's your last shot. How do you know? You never know. You don't know what's coming down the pike. None of us do. If you're Brady and you get in that car and you're driving home, I'd love to see the documentary of that one with him and G in that one. I'd love to see that conversation.
We're still waiting on the sixth installment, aren't we?
No, there's only five. They're done.
Oh, I thought the last one was TBD after the game. I thought there was one more.
Oh, I thought it was only five.
See, I thought there were six, too. But in any case, to me, if I'm Brady and this whole thing goes down the way it went down, I am freaking pissed to no end. I am pissed. You kidding me? We get to the Super Bowl. We get a chance to go six. Nobody's ever won five, and we get a chance to get six? and you don't play one of our better defensive players, we have no playmakers on defense. None. Hightower's out. He's made plays in the last two Super Bowls. He wasn't there. And the one before it, the guy who made the play standing on the sideline? If I'm Brady, I'm pissed.
I don't know how you can't be. I mean, if I feel this mad as a fan, if it's the way that he played and they had a legitimate shot to win it, and the best coach of all time, arguably the best coach of all time, this defensive mastermind, didn't make an adjustment out of spite, oh, that's a tough pill to swallow.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I like football, and I like the Patriots and all of that.
Hold on, I'm not done.
This is Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't know. They gave up on me. Yeah. It was a coach's decision. I was just doing my job, supporting my teammates. I mean, I had nothing but great things to say about the organization. Great organization. They gave me the opportunity. I don't know what it was. I guess I wasn't playing good, or they didn't feel comfortable. I don't know. I could have changed that game, though.
I feel that way. What happens now, Malcolm? Unrestricted free agent?
It's Cleo, so I can't tell the future.
Again, I didn't read you the whole thing. You know, he thanks the Kraft family. He thanks the organization. You know, he gives you some of that standard stuff. But the meat of it was that he wrote that during my four-year career with the Patriots, I've always given it everything I have to play at a high level and would never do anything to hurt my team's chances of winning a game, including this year's Super Bowl, where I visited with my family every night. During Super Bowl week, I never attended any concert, missed curfew, or participated in any of the ridiculous activities being reported. They are not only false, but hurtful to me and my family. And then he tweeted, and there was more, but again, that's just the bulk of it related to the disciplinary action in the game, where he says he did not do any of these things being reported. Tom Brady liked the post on Instagram. So what does that mean? Again, just help me with that, Murray.
He co-signs on it. He co-signs on it.
Is there a little thumbs up emoji? Like, how does that work?
It's a heart emoji. It's a heart emoji on Instagram.
Like, he loves it.
Yes, I loved this. Because a lesser man would have spit right in the face of the coach for not making the right decision to put a player who could have helped us win this game. But I'm not. I'm not like Jim Murray, hack radio host, who would have spit in the coach's face for costing me my 6 Super Bowl rings. You know what I'll do instead? I'll like the post when it goes up.
So Tom Brady, is there, and again, just help me out. It's Tom Brady's personal Instagram.
That is correct.
And this is validated, verified, blue check mark, whatever.
As real as it can possibly be.
And I have a screen capture for proof.
Okay.
Put it on our Facebook page.
Boom.
So in today's world, that's a humdinger. That's a humdinger.
It is.
To me. And I'll just tell you what I think that is.
It definitely is.
And I'll tell you what I think it is. It's the response to the Seth Wickersham thing, which had Bill's fingerprints all over it and Bill's camp's fingerprints all over it, in which, you know, the article in which it's reported from Patriots staffers that Tom Brady is showing age and fragility, throws hospital balls to his receivers and gets them hurt, and on and on. And so this is Brady saying, oh, I throw hospital balls. I see. I'm showing fragility and my age. I get it.
I got Chris Hogan hurt, huh?
Nice call on Butler, Bill. I mean, how else am I supposed to read that?
You can't read it any other way. And again, just in the sheer sense of it, Brady's 40, okay? And again, I know a lot of people buy into the TB12 thing again. What if this was the last one? What if they don't get back? There's no way. He has every right to be pissed. Pissed. The one thing that they always sort of agreed on, the one thing that they could always rely on at the end of the day is the goal is to win. The goal is to win. That's what we believe in more than anything. That is our bond. That is what brings us together. The goal is to win. We want to win more than anything. Then you get to the Super Bowl, and for something relatively minor, you got Jordan Richards running around out there with his head cut off and Malcolm Butler standing there holding his helmet on the sideline. Come on! Cut the crap!
I think there's another sneaky great dig in this thing from Malcolm Butler, too. At least the way I read it in this first paragraph, where he thanks Kraft family, goes on and on. I've always respected everyone at the New England Patriots organization, from custodians, staff, and Coach Belichick. Belichick's last. He thanked the janitors before he thanked Coach Belichick. And he has every right to be pissed. Even if there was some sort of transgression, it was a bad practice. Maybe he went off and yelled at Steve Belichick, the safeties coach, during a practice this week. Daddy, he yelled at me. Don't play him. Oh, I'm going to show you, Malcolm. He thanked Belichick last. I think that maybe I'm reading too much into that, but I'm sorry. He puts the Custodians ahead of Belichick?
Now, look, by Patriots standards, okay, by Patriots standards, a place where they keep everything internal, everything is inside, nothing leaves the locker room. By Patriots standards in the last 2 days, you have now had Dante Hightower,
defensive captain,
liking a comment by Brandon Browner, and you now have Tom Brady signing his name and endorsing Malcolm Butler.
Tom Brady.
So, again, by Patriots standards, and this is hyperbole, but by Patriots standards, this is a borderline mutiny. That's what this is. Brady calling out Belichick on Instagram effectively? That's what this is. He's supporting Butler, saying, Bill, how do you let this guy stand on the sideline? I'm with him. If that's what this thing is, Butler on one side and Belichick on the other, Dante Hightower and Tom Brady just lined up behind Malcolm Butler. That, in the, for the Patriots, that is unheard of.
And in this day and age, I mean, the social media heart, like, thumbs up, is the that's the new form, I suppose.
Yeah, it's the world we live in now.
Okay. So that happened this afternoon.
I'm eager to see whether that, Murray, keep an eye on it and see if whether that, is there a way to know if that gets unliked?
Jimmy, I don't know. I can't speak to that. I don't know.
Yes, because we'll search whether the heart goes away or not.
Okay, and the only reason I ask that is because there's got to be someone that runs Brady's Instagram account, right? I mean, he's not sitting there doing it himself, I don't think. But whoever's doing it is not putting that up without Tom giving a thumbs up. I have to believe.
Tom's so, looking at film right now.
So you think Brady's enjoying this evisceration of Bill Belichick we've had the last couple of days?
Oh, my God. I think he's doing naked cartwheels in his house with Giselle, for crying out loud. That's what I think. I think he's loving every second of it. That because, again, look, take the whole loyalty thing and all that out of it. You're telling me Tom Brady doesn't have as much invested in this thing as anybody, including Bill? Brady's got as much vested in this whole era as anybody, maybe more. He's out there giving up his body for 18 years.
So you think Bill made it personal? It's,
don't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think Butler's not one of his guys. Clearly not one of his guys. And if you bust their balls on contracts, you're typically not one of their guys. And it's sort of a line of demarcation. Those that take him to the mat and those that don't. And the ones that take him to the mat, it usually doesn't end well. And so I can't separate that. This isn't the only time Malcolm Butler was benched this year. Malcolm Butler was also benched week two against New Orleans. Why is that significant? Because New Orleans wanted to sign him as a free agent. So there's been only two. He's played 98% of the snaps this year. The two games where he missed the most time were against a team that wanted him in free agency and wanted to pay him a contract, and then the Super Bowl, the biggest stage in the world. So I don't know. You tell me, is there some commonality, Murray? You got something over there?
Yeah, Mark Daniels, Providence Journal, just tweeting, along with Brady, this post has since been liked by, ready? Philip Dorsett, Alandon Roberts, Harvey Lange, Cody Hollister, Vincent Valentine, Martellus Bennett, Marcus Cannon, Jacoby Brissett, Justin Coleman, LeGarrette Blount, Brandon Browner, Jamie Collins, and Rob Ninkovich.
Wow.
Tom Brady may have already unliked this thing.
I mean, it is, look, but all those other guys lining up, it tells
okay,
you.
Well, I mean, over half of them are not here.
Yeah, but even so, like the, like Ninkovich, Ninkovich is a big Belichick guy.
The program guy.
Big time. Big time. So, again, that's one that I look at and say they're all looking at him going, you know what, Bill? You're a jerk. You're a great coach, but sometimes you're a jerk.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5. The Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
One thing that Patriots coach Bill Belichick, Dan, said this morning is that a lot goes into it. And, yes, from what I understand, there are several factors that led Malcolm Butler, one of the team's top defensive players, to not be on the field for the Super Bowl. Among those, he showed up a day later than teammates because he was sick. Remember, he was not at opening night. That was a factor. I'm also told that during practice this week, he really struggled, had a rough week of practice, perhaps because of illness, but maybe because of other things. That was one thing that they had to consider in putting Eric Rowe out there instead of him. That I'm also told there were some other issues, disciplinary issues. There was a small or minor violation of team rules that happened earlier in the week. That is one thing. Then there's some attitudes, frustrations as well. All of this combined and put Malcolm Butler not on the field with his teammates trying to win the Super Bowl, but on the sideline watching.
That tweet gets liked and supported by a slew of current and former Patriots players, including most notably Tom Brady, who almost immediately puts a little heart emoji endorsement thing there, and I don't know Instagram, but does that.
Just a like.
It's a like. Brady likes it, and then he follows it up with a comment just a minute ago.
Yeah, and the comment reads, "Love you, Malcolm. You are an incredible player and teammate and friend, always," with like 7 exclamation points after it.
Shot so, across the bow.
No question. No question. You know, if people want to blame Malcolm Butler, and again, I think the media cartel would blame Malcolm Butler, well, I would tell you that Tom Brady doesn't agree with you. I would say that Tom Brady thinks that Malcolm Butler, well, I mean, he endorsed what Malcolm Butler said here, that he never did anything wrong and that he's always respected everyone within the New England Patriots organization, and that during my 4-year career with the Patriots, I've always given it everything I have to play at a high level and would never do anything to hurt my team's chances of winning a game, including the Super Bowl. And Tom Brady agrees with that versus, I don't know, anyone who's saying that he did something to submarine the game. Including, most notably, Bill Belichick.
I can't think of a more public instance. It might be the only one, in fact, where Brady has second-guessed Belichick like this. I can't remember one. Do you?
No.
I mean, I
can't think of one.
Well, that's what I mean. So the only thing that I would say, like, you know, when Mankins left, he grew a beard, right? Wasn't there?
Yes,
like
he did. Yes, he did.
Okay, that's right. But that leaves room open for interpretation. Maybe he just wanted to grow a beard. What do you know?
Well, I think he confirmed it to Jackie McMullen or Mankins did. Someone did.
Okay.
Someone put it on the record at some
okay,
point.
So there was that thing. Like, okay, fine. But this is for the whole world to see. And there's nothing gray about this.
Put his name to it.
Absolutely. Again, Malcolm Butler went on and said what he said in the midst of a dispute with the Patriots and Belichick. And Tom Brady went on and signed his name to it like it's a Declaration of Independence. He put his name right on it. He picked a side. I don't know how else you interpret that.
It's staggering. And I just can't help but go back to the Seth Wickersham article that was, I think, heavily written from Belichick's side. And this is a little bit of a response. Oh, so I guess I'm old and fragile and throw hospital balls. Nice call on Butler, Bill. Something like that.
Wow, what a shot.
Again, your reaction. Here's Matt in Framingham. Matt, what do you got?
Hey, I just saw the Maz Hat Eagle over Route 9. I gave it a salute. Maz, I know you weren't rooting for it. You were right.
It's okay, Matthew. You don't sweat it, buddy.
All right. Now, on to this. Now, I also was right because I said that Peterson would have an overload in his pants. But little did I know, it would actually be Mansack. All right? This guy came in, and I mean, he came in with so much aggression that I think he actually probably robbed Gronk's house of all the guns, just like he did in the game when he took away all of our defensive capabilities. Because, you know what? It used to be in Bill I trusted, but right now it's in Bill I'm disgusted, honestly.
And I think that's the way most people feel. And what's notable is all the players who lined up and supported Malcolm Butler today. That's the one.
Sure, yeah. And look, again, you know, there was some indication of this when you go back to the original Brandon Browner post. Fine, Brandon Browner, former Patriots player, takes a shot at Bill Belichick.
I mean,
big deal.
A big one, though.
But Dante Hightower put his name on it. Like, that to me was damning right out of the gate. And I thought, oh, he's in for it. Like, you know, Belichick's going to be on the horn with Hightower or somebody soon. And now Brady? What's Bill going to do, take on Brady?
Nope. Sit in Groton because he knows he can't. Who's he going to take him on with? Which side is the owner on? I think that was made clear this year. Sid in Groton. Go ahead, Sid.
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, this is more fun than the game, brother. There is a crack in the hoodie the size of the Liberty Bell, bro. This is outstanding. I smell an absolutely huge rat here, man. I do.
What's the rat?
I think it was ego. I think he was trying to send a message. I mean, the guy plays 98% of the snaps over the last 3 years. He has a bad practice, and he's not worthy of playing. When I was watching Patricia, you could tell he didn't even want to say what was coming out of his mouth. He didn't even believe it, what he was telling the media. It was unbelievable.
Oh, Patricia's explanation was pathetic.
Oh, that was pathetic, yeah. He wasn't in the packages.
I'm curious if Patricia's going to try that same crap as a head coach in Detroit. Good luck with that, Matt. Good luck, really. Treat the reporters at Covey like a bunch of 4-year-olds. You know, you better go 10-6. Because it's 6-10, that doesn't work. But that's a side topic anyway. Again, Butler comes out and defends himself. says he didn't do anything wrong, or at least what's being reported. In response to all the stuff that's come out, and all these players have lined up behind him, including, most notably, Tom Brady. Whoa.
Jimmy Garoppolo apparently has liked it as well.
This is just getting... Now you got Brady and Garoppolo. Belichick has unified Brady and Garoppolo. How do you like that?
Dan and Quincy, your thoughts?
Well, I wanted to call about the pass defense, but, you know, this seals Belichick's fate right now. He's either going to resign or he's going to get fired.
There's no way he gets fired, Dan.
There's no way he'll be able to come back and coach this team. And the rift between him and Brady started a long time ago. So the only go-between that Brady had to the coach is gone. Josh McDaniels is gone. I told you that he didn't like to be coached. Okay, but the notion that they lost the game because the absence of one player is also ridiculous. It's a ridiculous notion. It's a team sport. If they had one guy that could get in there and rush the passer, you said it's about the quarterback, Falgo, right? And you didn't think Fultz had it? If they could have got in there and disrupted the guy before he had the chance to set up to make his first read, one play. They were one play away. And by the way, they still had a shot.
No question. Hey, Danny?
They still had a shot on the last kickoff. Please tell me why they had that stupid lateral play.
So let me tell you something.
7 seconds and they lost the yard.
You're right.
Still could have friggin' tied the game.
It's ridiculous to say that. To me, it's strong. And, you know, a lot of people have said it, that decision cost them the game. I haven't said that. I don't think that decision singularly cost them the game. But you have to admit this. Keeping Butler on the bench did not put them in the best position to succeed.
I agree with that. I'd say take your best shot. What do you got to lose? But no, I remember earlier in the season when you guys were kvetching about giving the money to Gilmore, and I asked Tony point blank. I said, "Who are you going to put opposite Butler?" And Tony, you said Eric Rowe. I mean, come on. And you jumped on the. You're still there?
Yeah, but Danny, did they put themselves in the best position to win that game with the Butler thing?
No, probably not.
What do you mean, probably not? Would you come on?
I don't with you, but
Dan.
They didn't lose the game because he was not in the game.
Singularly.
It's gotten out of hand. Patriots fans are looking for a scapegoat right now, and it's Belichick and that decision. And that's ridiculous. They got manhandled on the line of scrimmage.
Okay, but that decision contributed to this loss.
Yeah, I don't. And look, just for my own benefit, I don't think I ever said Eric Rowe, but that's aside. Look, what I don't get with Danny is, Danny, how can you bitch about the pass rush saying one play would have made a difference and then in the same breath say that Malcolm Butler wouldn't have made a difference?
And he talks about them getting manhandled at the line of scrimmage. Go back, like, watch the game last night. Watch the body language of that defense, especially in the first half. Like, they don't even know what the hell's going on because they find out seconds before kickoff, yeah, a guy who you can normally count on in the secondary, even though he's had a bad year, yeah, we're not playing him. Because why? Huh? No, just go on with it. They were all out of it. They were out of sorts because they couldn't figure out what the hell was going on.
See, I'm not going as far as Danny either. Like, Bill's not getting fired or resigning. I mean, the resigning thing, I suppose, could happen at any time anyway, but that aside. But what I do think it is I think it feels like the Seattle locker room all of a sudden, for crying out loud. Like, I do think Bill at some point needs to go to some of the key guys on that roster and say, hey, fellas, I screwed up. Let this all cool off.
What do you think the odds of that are?
0.1. Like, and you know, and I say, I leave the 0.1 because I would hope that he's not as dumb as he was in 2009 when during that documentary we saw him stand up in front of the team after 4th-and-2 and he wouldn't accept his own responsibility. There was no accountability there. And I think that hurt him in the locker room. I don't think there's anything wrong with a head coach saying, hey, look, I screwed this one up. I screwed this one up. In fact, I think ultimately you win back some of your players if you do it. If he's smart, go to the key guys. Brady and Hightower on this thing? Endorsing a comment by Malcolm Butler on the internet? Bill's got a problem that he needs to address.
There's an issue.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.